T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
All right, it's 8:32. It's Thursday. It's July the 9th. Let's say good morning to Charlie Brennan.
Good morning, Debbie. Good morning, everybody.
And Amy Markscores.
Good morning.
Starting with another Travis song. I love that song. I guess that's just the way the cookie crumbles the last 2 days. Won't complain about some Travis. All right. The good news is the weather is going to get a little bit better. Not quite as steamy for the next few days. So that's good. But still kind of steamy when it comes to the perplexing situation facing educators as we head into the fall. There are a lot of parents who are not really sure if they want to send their kids to school in the fall or feel safe. And a lot of parents who say, well, of course they have to go back. I have to work. President Trump weighing in yesterday. He's threatening to withhold funding for schools that do not reopen in the fall. He also, interestingly, he said kids must go back to school. But then he criticized his own Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidelines for safely returning kids to classrooms, saying that the rules were too tough and expensive, and said he was going to talk to the agency about new guidelines. First of all, Charlie, should the president be dictating CDC guidelines and saying kids need to go back to school, but the rules to do it safely are too tough?
Well, they are just guidelines. And really, the health decisions and the school decisions should be at the local level, at the state level. And I do think, in addition to parents needing to go back to work, I think education is a top priority for this country. And I think the kids should be going back to school, except for the kids with comorbidities. And, of course, faculty and staff who have comorbidities, they should not be there either. But I don't think that the nation should be withholding kids from education this year because of coronavirus. We've seen the numbers, and coronavirus is serious. But like I said, in St. Charles County, St. Louis County, St. Louis City, not one person has died from COVID-19 under the age of 40. And I think that we can administer education this year if we're smart about it, getting plexiglass. I don't think we should stagger days. The president weighs in on everything. Sometimes he's right, sometimes he's wrong. But these CDC guidelines are just that. They're guidelines. What we're going to have to do is go to the local level with the superintendents and the school committees, and they've got to figure it out. And I'm pretty confident that they will.
The having kids at home for the last part of the 2019-2020 school year was somewhat manageable. The country survived it. It will not be manageable for the entire 2020-2021 school year. So yes, the schools do need to open up. It is the states, again, that are supposed to have the power when it comes to health and safety. And the CDC sent out its guidelines, which this is a precarious situation, so the guidelines may seem tedious. It's bizarre to me that Trump thinks the best way to handle this is tweeting in all caps that schools need to reopen, or threatening to withhold funding if schools try to follow CDC guidelines or don't open up in time. Like, this is the action of someone who believes that everyone in his own government is against him. Jonah Goldberg put out this phrase when Trump was throwing out suggestions for you know, hydroxychloroquine and all that. He said Trump is impatient enough that he wants to have a quick fix, but he's narcissistic enough that he wants to be the one to think of it. And I kind of feel that way about the schools. He wants it to be a quick fix with schools, that we just send all the kids back. And he's tweeting in all caps because he wants to be the one to say he sent the kids back to school when no one else would. I just don't think this is the right way to handle it.
Also, I suppose threatening the money might be the only option that he really has in this case. But really, the main monies to schools are from the state and local level. The federal government money mostly goes to programs for kids of low-income families, school libraries, and textbooks and things like that. So I'm not sure how much of a carrot and a stick that is. Thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think you're exactly right. The federal money for schools, while important, schools will tell us, is a small percentage of the overall budget. But I think the big key is the president is the president. But the big key is, are schools going to be ready in the fall or August to go back to school? And I think it's a high priority. I think, you know, if right now we've got people all over going to protests, going to the Lake of the Ozarks, going to Schnucks. If they can move around as they are right now in society, and let's face it, we're doing it. We got to find a way to get the kids in schools, regardless of what the president tweets. You know, I think the president plays us like a Stradivarius, Debbie. We keep responding to his tweets in every news cycle. Come on, let's move on with our lives and disregard those tweets. Even though he is the president of the United States, we can live our lives and educate the kids regardless of what Donald J. Trump thinks or tweets.
Well, we can, but he knows what he's doing when he plays those cards. Twitter is not the real world. We absolutely know that, but the media will respond to it. I mean, heck, I brought it up because when he tweets, it further politicizes an issue that should not be politicized.
If you pay attention to it, I don't even read his tweets.
I don't either, but I still know all about them.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He is the president of the United States. He speaks, but he's only one third of the federal government, right? We're making the guy bigger than he really is, and he loves it. He loves it. And at the end of the day, sorry to be cliche there, we have to control our own lives and educate our kids and go to school. And we can't act like this guy is the king and his pronouncements are going to dictate our lives.
Nobody is,
especially in education. Education is controlled locally in this country.
Right, it is. We forget that, but your leaders matter. We talk about words mattering.
You wouldn't say,
oh, Winston Churchill was just a small percentage of the British government. I mean, your leaders matter. They set the tone for the rest of your country, and this is a divisive leader.
Yeah, don't forget, Winston Churchill got bounced.
Well,
that's the one aspect that people forget. He lost his re-election.
And
England survived.
I wouldn't say his defining legacy is he got bounced.
He did. Everyone forgets that. The British people turned on him.
Because he stayed too long, like Tony Bennett, who holds a note just a little bit too long.
But most people don't know that. Most people don't know that the war hero lost his re-election.
Yes, but he led when it counted.
Right, he led when it counted. I mean, my goodness. I mean, you
okay.
Unless he stays in perpetuity.
Here's the deal. I've got two kids. Their education depends not one iota on Donald J. Trump. And I speak for most Americans, certainly those in our listening audience. I don't look to the president for advice on my health, on my finances, or on my kids' education. And I recommend that most people, I wouldn't recommend anything. People can do what they want. But I think most people are similar, including you too. Neither of you live your life one way or the other based on what Donald Trump says or thinks.
Well, we need to take a break. It is 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks Kors. We talked a little bit about masks yesterday, and there is still so much rancor in this country about whether one should wear one or not. But The retail, I forget what the exact retail federation name was, they had asked state governors to please require it in their state because they said that the hodgepodge of rules and regulations and mandates about masks is confusing. Well, our governor in Missouri has said he won't do that. J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, has done that, and he's now asking for a national mandate requiring the wearing of face masks. But Pritzker issued the call as part of his virtual testimony yesterday before a U.S. House committee. He also said that the federal government has failed to put together a national response as the coronavirus pandemic ravaged this country, that there wasn't enough of a plan for PPE, et cetera. Do you think, Amy, that a national mask mandate would be helpful or even work?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I do know that mask mandates do increase the numbers of masks being worn. We've seen that in Florida and some other states as well. Again, I like to focus on the importance of federalism here and the state's power to determine what measures will be taken for public health. So, yes, I'm a fan of state-issued mask mandates more than federal mandates overall. And I do think they do help. You know, I was in, I guess it was Walgreens this weekend, and 99% of people were wearing masks, and there was this one guy. You know, there's always that one guy that's not wearing a mask and he's talking to the woman working the counter. And then I feel bad for her because here she is, you know, working this important job. And he just had total disregard. So it bothered me. I almost said something nicely, but I didn't.
You know, I guess it depends what Walgreens you go in, because you get all these stories from people who say that I went into Schnucks and there were no masks, or I went to this place and there were, everyone's wearing them. As for Pritzker, here's another guy. Now, how many murders does he have in Chicago every weekend? How many shootings? And he is thinking that the whole country should wear a mask. I think he should worry about the city of Chicago and the violence there. I'm taking a look at the front page of today's Post-Dispatch. The Metro East has had 226 people die of coronavirus out of Illinois, where 7,000 people have died. So in the Metro East, just 226 out of 7,000. I would say if you're in Chicago, you know, most of those deaths in Illinois are in the Chicago area, unfortunately, and that's where they have a real problem. But then you get downstate in southern Illinois, it's not that big an issue. So I'm not sure that you really need the statewide mandates. You kind of go where the issues are really problematic or potentially problematic. And all counties are not the same.
I have to say, though, that when I go outside of St. Louis City, you see fewer and fewer masks. If you're right in Jefferson or Franklin County, you probably won't see anybody wearing a mask, or very few. So when I was driving across Illinois this past weekend, we stopped at a gas station, literally in the middle of nowhere. And I was gassing up the car, and my son had to use the bathroom. And we were halfway to the gas station to go inside. And I said, oh, we don't have our masks. And then I thought, we're in the middle of Illinois. No one's going to be wearing a mask. But no, because they have a statewide mandate. There was a sign on the door. Mm-hmm. So we went back and got them in our car. We went inside. And this is, again, rural Illinois, middle of nowhere. Every single person in that store was wearing a mask. And I thought, well, that really contrasts to anywhere else in Missouri. So maybe a statewide mandate does work.
They do help. Like I said, again, I know the numbers of mask wearing has gone up in Florida. And to be completely honest, I'm surprised how uncomfortable I am now when I'm in a gas station or grocery store and someone doesn't have a mask on. I appreciate everybody wearing masks. It's a small ask.
All right, we need to take a quick break here, and when we return, we have some court issues to talk about and a possible name change. Stick around for round three of OT. It's 8:47. It's 8:53. It's round three of OT, and let's see if we can squeeze two issues in here. There is a Supreme Court decision expected today, Charlie Brennan and Amy Marscores. The high court expected to rule on whether President Trump has to give up those tax records he promised he would give up 5 years ago, but he's been fighting very hard to keep secret. The court has had some interesting decisions on issues of late. So if you were to look into your crystal ball, Amy Marscores, what do you think? Are they going to say yay or nay?
You can take the crystal ball, your SCOTUS crystal ball, and just like throw it out the window and let it shatter. Someone wisely said that this is a good reminder that Supreme Court judges are appointed, but outcomes are not appointed. You can't guarantee outcomes. And there have been some interesting rulings from the Bostock case, which is the LGBTQ rights case, non-discriminatory case. And they recently had Little Sisters of the Poor being decided. So I am not exactly sure what this court will decide. My guess is no, he will not have to release.
At this point, I think people have enough information about Donald Trump that they don't need the tax records. First of all, I've never thought that any person has to hand over his or her tax records to run for office. Presidential candidates have done that willingly. This president did not do that, and he got elected. And at this point, almost 4 years after, well, 3.5 years after he got into office, do you really need the tax records to form an opinion on Donald Trump?
But that's probably not what the court is thinking about at this point, right?
What do you think they're going to say? I have no idea what this or, you know, any court's going to come up with. But basically speaking, at what point does Congress say, you know, is this really the big issue for our country? Do we need a hearing on Donald Trump's financial records, really? I think he's done enough things, said enough things for us to form opinions.
All right.
I'll put a dollar on no.
Okay. But the high court decided it, so they decided to take up the case. They could have said no, right?
Sure, exactly. But is your opinion of Donald Trump going to change based on this? I don't think so. I don't think anyone in our listening audience will say, you know what? Now that we find out that he did pay too much or too little taxes, I'm not going to vote for the guy.
I think it's not whether he paid the taxes. I think people are curious about what other skeletons might be in the closet that might be really interesting.
So it's political.
This might be political to some as well. For years, the Washington Redskins were refusing to drop the Redskins logo, but now it looks like they're having a change of heart now that the NFL is having its own change of heart. But the Chicago Blackhawks say they will continue to use their team name because it honors a Native American leader who has been an inspiration for generations. Unlike Redskins, it's not a racial slur necessarily. So, Charlie, do you think the Blackhawks will be a target of the name change wars?
No, precisely because of what you just said. A Blackhawk is not a slur. Blackhawk was a guy, actually, and he was imprisoned at Jefferson Barracks here in St. Louis for a while.
It's also one of the more historic logos. Now, if I were not a Blues fan, but I am a Blues fan, I would say that it's one of the coolest logos in the National Hockey League. But I would never say that as a Blues fan.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we have to go. But before we leave, what's coming up after the news, Charlie?
We've got Major Garrett joining us. Also, Leonard Slatkin on great movie music and his connections to some great scores. Plus, the mayor of Florissant, Tim Lowry, is going to join us. That and more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.